And good morning. Welcome to City Edition here on 1590 KVGB 95.5 FM, the talk of the town. Welcome to the show. We get you up to date on what's going on in the city of Great Bend. Help us do that today. Great Bend Public Works Director Jason Colley in today.
Hey, Steve. How are you today?
We've got a hot update. Construction. It's going to be taking place. We've got the breaking news.
Breaking news.
What's going on, Jason?
Yeah, well, we're going to be working over, we're going to have a contractor working with the post office. That curb and gutter on the Williams side has failed and needs to be replaced. Well, to replace curb correctly, you typically have to replace the sidewalk as well. And so they'll be replacing sidewalk and curb and gutter from about 16th Street. I would estimate probably a good 60 foot of curb and gutter and sidewalk will be getting replaced. So that'll be starting Thursday. So just kind of be on the lookout when you go to the post office. Just be kind of aware that parking may be a little limited on around the building.
Okay, so that's – so do most sidewalks have some type of pipes – beneath them or something?
Well,
what I'm saying is, as it goes out, you know, who's going to pay for the sidewalk?
Well, typically it's the business owner or the homeowner's responsibility for their sidewalk. In this case, due to the type of failure of that curb, we're going to replace that sidewalk to make sure our curb is done correctly. As far as pipe under the sidewalk, you know, it's funny that you bring that up. There are some areas in town that you think it's a sidewalk when it's actually the top to a storm box. We've got some areas of town that we have maybe a 4 foot by 6 foot storm box that we utilize that top for a sidewalk.
You say storm box, that's just kind of a collection area until it can move on, or?
Essentially, think of it in this instance that I'm describing. Think of it more as a big square pipe.
Okay.
18th and Baker is an example of that. There's pipe, or there's this big storm box that runs for a couple of miles, and it helps flow that water. It's just a larger collection area that helps flow that out to the Leshesky, actually, in that area. So
storm boxes could be.
Multiple terms.
Well, sometimes you see them where you can see it open. Yeah. It's like a canal going through, but it opens up and you can see it for a while until it goes back underneath the street, I guess.
Right. And these boxes are usually beside the street. So, you know, but there at the post office, we don't have anything of that nature. We do have a storm inlet there that's going to be getting some work done on it as well, because the throat of that has kind of come off. So they'll be repairing that as well. I know we had some complaints about tripping and such. And I actually went by after the complaint came in, and there's actually chunks of concrete from the curb that had fallen off that I had picked up. So it definitely needed replaced. And I know there's lots of other places that need replaced too. yes. At this point, this is what we can do.
So. What's it run for? 10 feet of sidewalk these days. Have any idea?
For the sidewalk itself, I don't have the figures in my head at the moment. What the sidewalk itself costs, the curb and gutter wasn't horrible by any means. But like I said, I don't have those figures off the top of my head at the moment.
So. How thick does the sidewalk have to be?
Sidewalks are usually around that 4 inches thick.
Okay.
And they usually use a 4,000 PSI. Just like you would use on the street for the most part. So for a street, of course, it's thicker. You know, you run anywhere from 6 to 8 inches on a street, depending on what it is, even up to 10 at times. So
okay, so let's get into another edition of whack-a-mole.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're talking about potholes and things like that. Is that whack-a-mole just trying to keep up with them when the spring thaw begins?
When it comes to potholes, yes, it's definitely kind of trying to take care of those issues as they arise. We try to be a little preemptive, and we send crews out if they see it to write that down on a list, and then that will go back whenever we have the patcher truck out. But, yeah, it's definitely kind of if you see one, report one kind of situation, you know, call in City Hall, call in my office, just and let us know, and we'll try to get to it as soon as we can.
Okay, so we head into the summer season, kind of road maintenance things that we're going to be seeing this summer or here coming up soon.
So we've got some projects waiting in the wings. We're not quite ready to divulge what those are yet, but we've definitely done some work. We've done our due diligence for C-Clip, which that's, you know, highways. We've got some projects that we're getting ready to put out for bid here shortly. As soon as we get those finalized and get those plans done, we'll get those out to bid, and I can make that public exactly what we're going to do. But I will say that there again, we will be taking care of some problem areas. And I know one area in particular that we'll be taking care of is a long-standing problem, so it should make some people happy when we get it fixed.
But we can't divulge that yet.
Not yet. Let me get the plans and everything done and get it ready out for bid, and then I'll let you know what we got going on.
Okay, so you have this big database that ranks all our streets and things like that. So is that what we use to keep an eye on this? And can when you go from like good to not very good really quick, and how often is the list updated?
Yeah, so we do have this PACER rating scale is what we typically go by. I know some of that stuff may be changing. We do have a new engineering firm that is helping us with our asset management a little more to help us have a little bit longer range plans. And they use a little bit different system than we have been, but for the most part, the PACER rating system is what we go off for streets. There's definitely some complexities into deciding what street you choose and what you don't choose. It's all about the maintenance. If it's beyond maintenance, then it's time to do a full repair. We do have the idea of having chip sealed in again this year. And that's definitely sits more on that maintenance side of things. It gives us a wear surface that extends the life of that street a little bit longer before we have to completely replace that.
Is that the black streets we see?
Yeah.
Okay. That's been worked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has been so far. I knock on wood, I haven't heard any complaints. So, okay. You know.
Tell me about 281 bypass, because that was wasn't completely renovated, because it would have been out of price range the way that they patched that a few years ago. I don't know, guys, going back a while, but
it's more than a few years ago. Yeah, I'll say that.
I mean, but it was great, because that was just completely falling apart, and they came up with a different way, a more economical way to do it. Mm-hmm. How is 281 bypass held up?
That's one of the things we're looking at. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay. All right.
Because that was originally done with the intention of having some extra work done to it within a 5 to 8 year range after that was completed.
Okay.
We're well past that. So that's one of the things we've been looking at. There's no definites yet on what we'll do with that, but it's definitely something we're looking at, and hopefully that will come out to something we can fix, because I do know there's been some rutting, and you know there's some potholes starting to develop. It's like you kind of said, it's kind of, you know, the seasons we've been having lately, it feels like you have a street that you had a good pacer rating on just even a month or two prior, and then all of a sudden now that rating has dropped, and it's just the, like you said, the freeze thaw cycles, the might be some change in vehicular traffic on it. But I do know that some of the things that we originally had planned, plans change relatively swiftly because something else may take priority.
Does that still pull a lot of traffic?
281 bypass?
Yeah.
I've not done any traffic studies on it, but I do, I've been on it myself, and I've seen relatively, good amount of traffic on it.
Valuable.
Yes.
Artery. Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll have more coming up after this. Back on City Edition, Jason Colley joining us here on the show. I know you wanted to talk about some, people getting in the yards and things like that, some reminders for residents who are mowing, doing things, landscaping, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So,
well, yeah, the biggest thing I would say right now is, you know, it's become rainy season. We're starting to get those storms rolling through. We're starting to get that rainwater. And one of the things I would really like to remind people is when they do mow, to keep it out of the street. I know it seems minor, but, you know, that grass does collect in those storm systems that we were just talking about, and actually helps build up sediment, and actually is one of the, I'm not going to say it's the only contributing factor, but it is one of the contributing factors of giving us difficulties inside of our storm drains. You know, as we all know, Great Bend's flat. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, our drains are developed to flow the best they can. But whenever you have debris of that nature that gets in them, then it causes a problem. So it's always a good idea to mow where it pushes the grass back into your yard instead of blowing out into the street. We have street sweepers. I know it's what people will say, but, you know, we've only have two street sweepers and a lot of streets in town. And those things, max speed are like 5-6 miles an hour. So, you know, it takes a long time to sweep the whole town.
Speaking of street sweepers,
mm-hmm.
how do they work? Is it like a big vacuum sweeper? No. What are we doing? Because I've always wondered that. Is it sucking the dirt up? Is it just spreading it around? I mean,
so
this is a learning show here today,
it's a learning
Jason.
Show. No, yeah, no problem. So we used to have a street sweeper that did do that. It had a regenerative air system in it that grass and leaves it was ideal for. We're in Great Bend, Kansas, and we have sand.
Yes.
Lots of sand. It was horrible for that thing. So we have moved to mechanical sweepers, which basically we have a broom in the middle, and we have two brooms on each side.
Okay.
The broom in the middle pushes the dirt up onto a conveyor belt. That conveyor belt then dumps it into a hopper, for a lack of a better term. And then the brooms on the side are what we consider gutter brooms. And that brings the material that's in the gutter to the center so that a broom in the center can put that on that conveyor belt. For what we have to pick up here in Great Bend, it's the best solution that we have at the moment. Because regenerative air, a vacuum type system, it may seem like it cleans better, but we just eat through those really fast hoses. You eat through the steel of the hopper really fast. I mean, it's just basically getting sandblasted constantly for 8 hours a day. So it doesn't take long to destroy something that's regenerative air. So that's why we've moved exclusively to the mechanical sweepers.
So that's a belt inside?
So, yeah, if you would actually look underneath of it, it looks just a big, long broom. And then right behind that broom is a conveyor belt. It's literally, it's actually quite visible. If you actually look underneath of it, and it just pulls it up and dumps it into the hopper. And then the hopper on those things, tilt up and dump like a dump bed. So, and the hopper's in the front of the sweeper as well. So
how long can you go before you got to dump that thing?
It depends how much material's down.
Okay.
It's variable. It's variable. And then since they do move so slow, we will set up dump trucks. We'll stage dump trucks because, you know, it takes a while. When you're on the west side of town, it takes a while to get to the compost site, you know, to go dump that. Where that's where we store those sweepings at.
Okay, there you go. How the street sweeper works. We get that on the show today. Yeah. I'm kind of jumping around here
because
you asked me.
What's
the latest update on, and I don't know, maybe this is outside of your department, the turn lanes and traffic lights at 10th and McKinley?
I will tell you, it's in the works, and the bid letting, they haven't changed it, I think, is going to be in August for that. So
have a complete celebration that day, or what are we going to?
You know, as soon as those get, yeah, that'll be great because, you know, they're going to have turn signals. It'll be the most state-of-the-art that we can get at the moment because it'll be all new camera systems. You know, everything will be replaced there. You'll actually have a protected turn signal for your north-south traffic. It's going to make a big difference.
Any adjustments to the intersection at all?
No, there'll be no geometric improvements to that intersection at all. It's just going to be putting in the lights, you know, that's about it. It's just put in the new poles, the new lights. You know, the intersection already is built to support that.
Do you have the code? I mean, because it's always been interesting to me because, okay, maybe the traffic light at Washington and 10th Street works a little bit like the with the one at Harrison. I don't know. I mean, how do you program that?
So from my understanding, and this is having talks with our traffic signal technicians, from my understanding, there's very few of them that are actually like tied together. Yeah. You know, with Harrison being the railroad, that's kind of what dictates a little bit of the down the line further east with our traffic signals. But as far as like anything like around 24th Street or, you know, there's no coordination between like Washington Broadway and 19th or, you know, anything of that nature. So,
okay, there you go. Jason Colley, give us the update here today on City Edition. We'll be back, have more of the show coming up after this. Back on City Edition, a smorgasbord show with Jason Colley, Great Bend Public Works Director. Okay, so we've kind of gone stoplights and roads, construction, spring stuff, grass. Don't want to get that out there. What a street sweeper, how it cleans. That's good. So now we're going to go back. Okay, we're going to go to the compost site right now. And as we head out there, that's where you see everybody. You go out there and see the compost site, but that is a very, very busy and a very successful place that really we kind of need to take care of a little bit and don't abuse it, I think. Yes. You know, as far as just a few rules, just follow the rules.
Yeah. Well, to say to start off with, the compost site is actually permitted by KDHE. You know, we are answerable to the state. So our permit only allows for grass leaves, tree limbs, that's all we are permitted for. So, you know, a lot of times you'll see people dumping lumber, you'll see trash and things of that nature. That's outside of our permit, and that can actually get us in trouble. If there would be a surprise inspection and KDHE would show up, we would get written up for that. So it's really in our best interest and the community's best interest to not be doing those things and only put in that compost site what we are permitted for, you know, and so like, I know also one of the other things that we kind of, stress or have issue with is, making sure that we have enough room for everybody at the compost site as well. You know, when you get in there, do the best you can to get all the way to the back to that grass pile or to a pile next to it. If you can't get all the way back there, kind of make sure there's not a whole lot of spaces in between those. We do have guys that go out and push that up especially during the work week. And we have guys that go out on the weekend as well. They volunteer for those overtime hours to go push up the compost site. Kind of goes the same thing for the tree branches. If you can get in there, get it as tight as possible, opens up room for everybody, because on those Saturdays and Sundays, our guys come out for a couple hours in the morning, maybe come back in the afternoon. There's not somebody sitting there all day watching the compost site. So,
and remember, you're on candid camera out there.
You are. So we do have cameras out there, mainly to catch those individuals that abuse it, like we talked about.
Okay, has it been pretty good for the most part? Or
I haven't heard very much complaints this year so far. But you know, our season's pretty young at this point. But not much in the way of complaints of abuses.
Okay. Busy time for you, right? Is this like harvest time, or is just goes all the time?
You know, I'll say this. It used to be, I always felt like winter was our slow time, and then summer, like you said, spring, summer, and fall was our more busy times, but it doesn't slow down anymore. It all year long, you're busy. It's just, there's always something to do, something to try to catch up on. And as warm as our winters have been, concrete season, it's all year long anymore. You know, it doesn't slow down.
Well, we appreciate it. And I apologize for Mike Corson for talking about the traffic lights. I didn't have anything to do with that at all. Just remember, if you see a problem, just call.
Give us a call.
Yeah.
Give us a call.
Email. So. Yeah. That Corson, I tell you what, you just can't control him.
Troublemaker.
Yeah, he is. Jason Colley with us here. Craven Public Works Director on City Edition on KVGB.